heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, we do this show for you, the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves, to the millions of veterans out there, and of course, to all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Big, big show again today. Gordon Logan, the CEO of Sport Clips, will be with us. 600 franchises around the country, and all he wants to do is cut your hair and help Operation Uplink. So we'll find out about that effort for this year.
You look like hell. Get your hair cut.
Exactly.
Go to Sports Clips.
And help somebody, at Operation Uplink. Give them a phone card. And then Kirk Dorr. Who is Kirk Dorr?
Lieutenant Colonel.
Yes.
Kirk Dorr.
Absolutely.
He's with a unit that the civil support, chemical, biological, radiology.
Oh, man.
I can't even say it.
Radiological.
Thank you. Nuclear and high-yield explosives.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. They're still a threat to our country.
Yeah.
This is the team that prepares for the worst within our borders. Ooh. And what it means to the troops. They've been under attack by some really left-wing publications trying to...
Really?
It's a unit that's important to the security of the United States.
Under attack?
We'll talk about that Lieutenant Colonel Dorr.
All right, so that's coming up, and we got some hot topics. Hey, first of all, Jerry, I want to ask you about... This is exciting. The National Defense radio show, and thank you so much for listening. And, we're trying all the time to get the word out as much as possible about our veterans, about things going on that are important to veterans and active duty. And this is going to be huge because the U.S. Army has stepped in, and guys love us.
They love us, and, hey, rightfully so. Who could not love Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry?
Absolutely.
You know, it's the tag team of love here.
The
Love Brothers. The Army loves us, and, everything we do, Randy, every week is for our nation's veterans and our military. We've been doing it for quite a while now.
Just had our 3-year anniversary, and let me just tell you that the incredible part of that is that we are still the only nationally syndicated veteran show in the country.
That's right.
That's amazing to me.
It is.
That is amazing to me. We're very happy to take on that that mantle because, we're there for you every single week.
Damn proud of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, the United States Army, they had some big conferences in the Pentagon, and Secretary of the Army, we found out, listens to the show every week, and he put us on his list of things that they want done, and he wants done, and one of the things he wanted done was to secure our relationship, and they're going to put a link to our show on the United States Army website.
Wow.
And at least once a month, we're going to have an entire show. It's going to be an Army show.
Good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
you can find us if you have trouble ever finding the show, you can go to the U.S. Army website, and we're linked there.
Exactly. Right. You're starting November 6th.
November 6th.
Right.
All right. And if you want to email us at any time, you can email us at thenationaldefense@vfw.org. Send us any kind of information, question you got. We'll look into it, thenationaldefense@vfw.org. That is tremendous. And now it's time for every other branch of the service to step up and do the same.
Hopefully they will.
I mean, they've been challenged now, right?
That's right.
The U.S. Army is in. Okay, you've been to the Coronado Valley.
Coringale, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a report the other day.
MSNBC.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this was on NBC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was actually on NBC, probably the same report, with a reporter actually there. You know, that usually doesn't happen. You're the only one that, when you're embedded with the troops, you're actually embedded with the troops. You
right.
know, most of the guys are in a safe barracks, 5,000 miles away or something, and they're reporting. But no, this guy was actually up in the one of the mountaintop makeshift forts, if you will.
Right. That's the outposts.
Exactly.
There's the Coringale outpost, which is the base camp, but then separate from that, They have a outpost. It's manned by a small group away from the main.
Very small, because that's all they can get up on that ledge. I mean, they actually carved it out of the mountain.
Right. I have some photographs that I am sure you saw. You didn't click with you, that I took from that spot.
Well, when I saw that, I said, that's where Jerry was.
Right.
But those guys are constantly under attack.
It hasn't changed.
No. It's actually gotten a little worse, I guess, in that situation. But you can't obviously see the enemy. I mean, those guys are shooting blind. I mean, that's basically what they're doing. And it was actually a pretty good report. I was waiting for the negative spin on that, but there couldn't be much of one. I mean, those guys were risking their lives every single day and doing what they can to hunt out the enemy. And you can't. That's such an unbelievably difficult job there in those conditions.
Right. And I believe it, the Viper Company.
That's exactly who it is.
There. I stumbled across on MSNBC on the website, and I pulled up one of the clips, and it was like. You talk about flashing back, because when they were walking and on patrol and so forth, I said, oh, okay, they're heading out of the cop there. I mean, it was like I was there again.
Well, I enjoyed the report, and I go, where you been?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, really.
You know, you had that story a couple of years ago.
Right.
And those guys were just now getting to it and saying, boy, look what's happening over here. Well, that's been happening.
It's
not a new story.
You know, as insane as this sounds, I'm hoping that somehow I can get back to the Corn Gal. I'm not. I know
that does sound insane.
The 132 is redeploying. That's a unit I was embedded with in 06. They're redeploying to Afghanistan in January. I'm not going to Afghanistan in January because it's too damn cold. I'm not going to do that.
That's what he said. The next real challenge is coming up for those guys. I mean, as tough as it is right now, you can combine that with freezing temperatures.
Right. I mean, I was there September, October. And of course, I was minus some gear at the time, but it was so cold that I went on those night patrols just so I could stay warm.
You were minus all your gear.
Yeah, I was so cold. You know, I wanted to start crying. But I'm hoping that I can get back there. In the spring, early summer, I want to go back to the Corn Gal.
Well, and it just gives you so much, even more respect for those guys that are over there doing it, because it's just that's insane.
And that's a story. Those types of stories should be headlined.
Absolutely.
To this day, Afghanistan is still, on page six.
That's right. And those guys, the first thing they said is, we need more troops.
Yeah.
We need some help.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. Same thing I said.
And not whining about it. I mean, they were, that was in response to a question.
Right.
You know, they're not offering that up.
And that's what, if you recall, when I got back, and it was it was just after the election.
That's right. That's right.
And we had Senator Carl Levin on from Michigan, who was taking over as chair of the Armed Services Committee.
Yep.
We had him on the phone. I told him then, we need more troops. We need more resources.
Supplies.
Yeah. We need those troops needed over there.
And they got it.
That was
for a while.
Well, yeah, they got some food. They got some fresh food. Right. They got some mail.
But they couldn't even get that in, remember?
Right,
The chopper couldn't get up there and couldn't.
Right.
So.
But the fact of the matter is the theater in Afghanistan still has not received all the resources and troops that they need over there.
And those guys, even when they're talking about that and how many more troops they need and how much more they should have, they still end the sentence with, but we're working with what we got.
That's right.
You know, that's what's amazing.
And they're living hard.
Yeah.
Living hard.
Well, speaking of that now, okay, this withdrawal plan. Let's talk about that a little bit. Another hot topic.
Well, yeah.
Or the latest, this week's, the withdrawal plan of the day.
The it's funny because on the campaign trail, they're still beating this issue to death. And the fact of the matter is the administration is negotiating, and they have been.
But now they've got this firm.
For a timeline.
Deadline.
Right. And the United States has agreed to a firm deadline for withdrawing combat troops. So, we're getting all sorts of mixed messages here.
Right.
There's
well, you got you've also got Iraq that's weighing in with this, saying what they want their timeline to be.
Right, and initially the initial timeline that was the U.S. was pushing for was 3 years.
Right,
and as you know, there's been a lot of protests in Iraq saying no, we want it out there. So this is something that is ongoing. But it what really strikes me again, and I can't get over it, I don't know if this is getting lost somehow, that when you listen to the two presidential candidates, it's still a matter of contention between them.
Right.
Senator John McCain isn't for withdrawing. We shouldn't set a timeline. Senator Obama has said that we need to get out of Iraq. We need to set some goals for the Iraqi government and their military so we can withdraw. And
although what McCain said was that any withdrawal should be subject to the security needs in Iraq.
Right. But now, apparently, what's being negotiated by the administration, and that's the other thing, we shouldn't sit down and negotiate the, when in fact we are.
Yeah.
So the drawdown, the withdrawal is going to happen. Okay. There's no mistake about that. Hopefully they'll, and apparently they've already made some plans to take some of those resources that are currently in Iraq, divert them to Afghanistan. But again, God only knows how long that's going to take.
Well, and you mentioned Carl Levin.
Yeah. I mean, that was 2 years ago.
I mean, Carl Levin now, you know, said he would reserve judgment on the deal until he could learn more, but expressed concern that American troops could be subject to Iraqi laws.
That's a
whole new can of worms.
Oh yeah, and that's kind of got lost in all the campaign stuff too. Right now, U.S. courts have jurisdiction over crimes committed in Iraq, as it should be. But now, like you said, Iraq wants to, and I believe an agreement was made, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, contractors, right?
For contractors.
Contractors
only, right.
In Iraq to be subject to Iraqi law.
Yeah, you're heading down a slippery slope.
Yeah, there. Right. Well, we got a lot to get to on the program today. And like I mentioned, we are going to have Gordon Logan on the program, the CEO of Sport Clips. That's coming up next right here on the National Defense.
We're standing guard with the truth. The National Defense.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities. Freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website. And now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
I'm Jerry Newberry, and of course, Randy Miller, and you're listening to the National Defense. Randy, you know that we have a lot of great programs for our veterans and our military and their families. And one of the programs we're known for as an organization is Operation Uplink. Since 1996, when we started the program, we've donated almost 10 million telephone cards to hospitalized veterans and our military members and their families. That doesn't include the almost 1 million, it's well over 1 million minutes of free talk time. That's where our military people who are deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, can go into a call center and call home for free.
And that's probably the biggest thing we hear from the troops.
Right.
Is thank you so much for the phone calls and the Operation Uplink cards. Of course, all of that costs money.
And we can't do it alone.
Absolutely not. And one of the biggest supporters for the Operation Uplink is Sport Clips and the national franchise Sport Clips. And Gordon Logan is on with us today to talk about that. Gordon is the CEO, of course.
He's the man.
He is the man.
The big man.
He has helped tremendously last year and is going to get even bigger this year. Gordon, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Randy, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, last year's efforts, you raised $90,000, and that was good for 800,000 minutes of talk time. Give us an idea of what the goal is for this year and what Sport Clips is doing.
Well, Jerry, last year we had a goal of $30,000, which was going to be for phone cards for use by servicemen and women over the holidays. And, in fact, we exceeded that. We tripled that and raised almost $90,000 that we're able to provide phone cards not only during the holidays but for throughout the year for over 800,000 minutes for our servicemen and women. So we were really amazed and really appreciative of the support we got for the program from the community and our clients and our team members. And this year we've raised our goal to $100,000, and we are extending the campaign an additional week or two, starting now, going through Veterans Day, educating our clients about the program and asking for their support, which they've been very gracious to give. Also, holding fundraising activities out in the community, again, to educate the community about Operation Uplink and the good things the VFW are doing. And culminating on Veterans Day, November 11th, when we're donating $1 from every haircut that's performed in all of our 600-plus sport clips around the country to support Operation Uplink.
Yeah, now that was 800,000 minutes last year, 800,000 minutes. Right. For our deployed troops, Iraq and Afghanistan, on Christmas Day. You know, it's tough being away from home during the holidays. And, you know, I'm not good in math, but that's a whole lot of troops that we're able to call home and speak with their family members.
Well, I haven't been overseas with Air Force. I can certainly understand the importance of being able to call back. I went overseas. We didn't phone cards. It was much more difficult back in those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And, you know, the biggest haircut day of the year, that's the day that this culminates, and that's the National Cut-a-thon on Veterans Day, when a dollar from every haircut will be donated to Operation Uplink from Sport Clips. And, you know, last year I got a little bit confused with that, Gordon. I thought the biggest haircut day of the year was just you go in and you get a gigantic haircut. But that's not that's not the case here, is it?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, we're putting a lot of publicity behind this program campaign to, again, educate the public and about the VFW and the good things it's doing, and especially Operation Uplink, and solicit their support. And we've really been blown away by how supportive everyone has been of this. It's been very rewarding, and we're certainly proud to be able to make this small contribution to our troops.
Small.
That's very huge. Sports Clips. Let's talk about Sports Clips for just a minute. Still growing?
Still growing. Opened up over 120 stores this year. We open our sixth tomorrow in Wilson, North Carolina.
What number was that?
Number 600.
Number 600.
Wow. Yeah.
And you know, that's one thing when you think about it, that's kind of a business that's recession-proof. Everybody's got to get a haircut, and when you can get it done for very little money and you get all the treatments that you guys employ at Sport Clips, that's pretty cool. I mean, you have the hot towel, the massage. I love the hot towel.
Yeah, right.
I love the hot towel. and you do all of that, and the games are on, and right now you go in, you watch a World Series, and you get a haircut.
When you're going to introduce the foot rubs, Gordon? that's the only thing that's missing.
We'll get back to you in that one.
Hey, good news, Gordon. And I'm going to announce this, Randy, right now, since we have Gordon on the line with
us. What do you got?
That starting November 6th, the National Defense will be linked to the United States Army website.
That's right. Yeah.
They love us. So hopefully, Gordon, that will introduce a whole bunch more people to Sports Clips. And, you know, hopefully you can exceed that $100,000 goal.
Well, we appreciate all the support we can get, and we certainly hope to. I don't know if we can triple our goal this year. But
I was going to say, you know, that's a tough one to beat. But,
yeah.
You know, the other thing, Gordon, that I like about Sport Clips is the fact that during this program, and you said it early on, it not only raises money for Operation Uplink, but it educates your customers at Sport Clips about what this program is and what the VFW offers. And I think that's just as important, because a lot of these folks are not familiar with the programs,
right,
especially if you're not a veteran and you don't keep up with that. So it really opens their eyes to what is available through the VFW, and I thank you for that.
Well, it is our pleasure, and the VFW has done a lot of tremendous things in support of our troops and our veterans, and we certainly support it for all of the programs, and this is one way we can certainly help educate the public and try to provide some additional support.
And by the way, Sport Clips was named in Entrepreneur Magazine's January 2008 issue as one of the 100 largest franchises in America and the top 50 fastest growing franchises. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Great. And that's even without the foot rubs. I mean, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine.
You think about that, Gordon.
How big you could get.
We'll take it into consideration.
All right.
Hey, Gordon, thank you. I know you got a plane to catch. Thank you for being with us, and thank you so much for your support of the VFW and Operation Uplink.
You're a good man, really, Gordon.
Absolutely. It really is our honor, and thank you, Jerry, and Randy, for your support, too.
Thank you so much. Gordon Logan, man, I tell you what, you know, you think about that. He tripled it last year with 30,000. You know, 200, 300,000 is not out of the question for those guys.
No, and it's a great example. Here's a guy, huge. He's a huge success.
Right.
But he...
It doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
I mean, really.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a lot of people, successful people, who aren't doing anything.
Well, and especially, and you know this too, Jerry, I mean, and I haven't talked to you specifically about all the VFW programs, but, you know, in this economy, man, everything is hurting.
That's right.
And it's very easy. I just saw a thing about the United Way the other day. United Way down significantly for the year, and it's very easy for businesses to kind of go, you know, we got
to
take care of our own deal here.
We have to cut back.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems like Gordon and Sport Clips, they're going the other way.
They're going the other way because, you know, his heart's in the right spot. He understands the sacrifices and the dedication of our service people and their families. He understands how important it is to show our support. Things are tough, yeah, you're right. But it's a lot tougher for those troops who are away from home,
right?
Who are deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan and all the far reaches of the world.
And I think that is
defending our freedom.
You know, that is important to let people know, because a lot of folks do not know about that. And quite frankly, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
You know? I mean, you go in to get a haircut, you're not thinking about what the troops are doing.
Exactly.
You know, and so then you get that kind of in your face, and you do start thinking about that, especially through the holiday season.
Right.
So.
I just wish every American, and again, I know times are tough. I mean, you're affected by it. I'm affected by
everybody,
it.
Everybody, yeah.
But, you know, there's still a lot of money dumped on frivolities. you know, give up that latte one day a week.
Right.
Just one day a week.
The only thing you don't have to give up is your haircut.
That's right.
You know, that
get
way
your haircut so you
clips.
Look good.
Yeah.
That's
well, right. that way you know that you're still helping, you know. That's a funny thing, too. People always ask you, and they ask me, how can I help? How can I do something? What do I do? It's a great way right here. Very easy way. It's part of your routine already. You get a haircut at Sport Clips. Some of that money goes to Operation Uplink.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
You're not giving up anything.
Got a lot of stuff coming up. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The only truth you'll hear on the radio. The National Defense.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
What do you want from the Wizard of Oz?
Just messing with you. But seriously, people don't want to stand in front of my big, awesome wizard head and hear me going, duh. They want answers. That's why I go to USA.gov, the official source for government info. It gives me the smarts to go with the show. Say someone asks for a brain. I go to USA.gov, type in student loans, and 4 years later, they're chock full of knowledge. Is the Wicked Witch terrorizing your neighborhood? Well, move. Then search USA.gov for change of address form so your friends can find you and the witch can't. How about if you're stuck here from Kansas and want to go home? Well, check out USA.gov for the latest travel restrictions and passport applications. I even use it for myself. Bought my sweet ride at a government auction I found on USA.gov. I call it the Wizmobile. Balloons are for squares.
For federal and state government information, there's no place like USA.gov.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, when we first started talking about this on the top of the show, you explained to me that the one element and the one division of the military that I think is maybe, not if not the most important, one of the most important, is actually coming under attack, and that is... It's crazy to me.
Yeah, and of course, by coming under attack, we're talking about certain elements of the media.
Right, exactly.
And
yeah.
Who are freaking out and trying to imply, or trying to get, or are very confused about what the mission of this unit is. And that's the, listen, we're gonna do something that the military does. We are going to use the acronym because I can't pronounce at least one of the words here. So,
all right, see if okay. We can get through this. It's the civil support. It's CBRNE. It's chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high yield explosives.
Yeah,
exactly. CBRNE sounds much better. But that's the unit, right? That makes sure. And it's funny because a lot of those things after 9/11 came up immediately.
Right.
And then they kind of went away, at least from the public consciousness. Thank God these guys are still out there working on this.
Right. And there's another acronym attached, and that's the Consequence Management Response Force. Now, I think about what that says. Consequence Management Response Force. Anyway, you and I can prattle on about, but we have an expert on the line, and that's Lieutenant Colonel Kirk C. Dorr, and he is with us.
Commander of the 5th Battalion, 7th Cavalry. Commander, thank you for being on with us.
Hey, well, good morning, Jerry and Randy, and I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you today. As I said, my name is Lieutenant Colonel Kirk Dorr, and I command the 5th Squadron, 7th United States Cavalry, a reconnaissance unit with over 550 soldiers based here at Fort Stewart, Georgia. And our squadron is part of the 1st Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division. Now, if you'd oblige me, Jerry and Randy, right up front, I'd like to thank all of our nation's veterans and every veterans organization for that earned our nation's gratitude and respect. And personally, I feel it's an honor to thank each of and every one of you and your families for your service, sacrifice, and dedication, courage, and your commitment. I truly believe that you represent all that is good in this nation. And our military services.
Absolutely.
Now, some Americans may forget our nation's at war with an enemy that threatens our way of life, but our veterans never forget. And America will always be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And you are the brave men and women who guarantee that freedom, the freedom of our good nation. And finally, before I start taking your questions, I'd like to thank, give special thanks to the VFW Post 638 in Marlborough, Massachusetts, my hometown.
All right.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well,
Massachusetts to Georgia, are you in a different land?
I married a Southern girl, and as you can tell, I lost some of that accent.
That's right.
I thought you were from Georgia. Anyway, some time ago, about a month ago, I received an email from Lieutenant Colonel Barry Johnson, who I met. He was running the press center in Baghdad, and all of a sudden I get an email, and geez, I was surprised because I never in the world thought he would remember me. But he's been reassigned to Army North, and he sent me an email asking if we would look into this and do a story with you, do a segment with you, because he thought it was very important. And, we researched it a little bit, and we agree. What y'all are doing is very important. Now, can you tell us a little bit, and again, trying not to confuse us, Randy and I are real quick on the uptake.
That's right.
And so if you're going to use acronyms, explain to us what the hell you're talking about. And tell us what your unit does.
Yes, sir. As part of this new mission, as you know, we're a component, as I just described, the 1st Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division. This unit just recently redeployed from Iraq.
Right. And, yeah, in fact, we had the commanding general, 3rd ID on. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And so as of 1 October, we inherited a new mission set, and that's working with U.S. Army North and the Army Service Component of Northern Command as an on-call federal response force for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters that may include terrorist attacks. Now, the CSMRF, and once again, I'll spell it out, the chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and high-yield explosive consequent management response force is designed or intended to provide a rapid, robust, and initial response capability to support civilian agencies. And that's a key component here, is that civilian agencies are in the lead in these types of incidents. We are a support force in attempting to save lives, relieve human suffering, and mitigate any great property damage following a catastrophic Saberni event.
Thank you, Colonel. Hang on just a second. We'll be right back with more from Lieutenant Colonel Kirk Dorr in the National Defense.
This is the National Defense.
The VFW is looking for a few more heroes. The largest combat veterans organization in America wants to get you involved and keep you active. With nearly 2 million members and 9,000 posts around the country, the VFW is doing the tough job of supporting our troops. You can be a part of all the excellent programs to keep the fires burning on the front lines. Programs such as Operation Uplink, with phone cards for active duty and hospitalized veterans, Adopt a Unit, which provides assistance for nearly 1,000 military units, and care package efforts for the troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. Only someone who's been there can understand what it means to be remembered. The VFW has been the heart and soul of the military for over 100 years. Isn't it time you stake your claim as a veteran? Call the VFW Membership Department at 1-888-JOIN-VFW or log on to VFW.org for more details. You've served your country. Now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.
So, it's my first day to be a big brother. Wait, so what am I going to do with this little guy? Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. A museum. No. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster or a plane ride or hot air ballooning. It's got to be big. It's got to be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. So, what do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. See a movie. Play catch. Or just go for a walk. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to bigbrothersbigsisters.org. That's bigbrothersbigsisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. We're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Kirk Dorr. He is with the Civil Support Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear, and High Yield Explosives Unit. What it means to you. Let's get back into this.
Now, this is another topic that's been forgotten about, or people have really, I think, forgotten about the potential for radiological attack from someone coming in with some type of portable device, a dirty bomb, that kind of thing?
Well, sir, as we all know, there are entities out there across the world that intend to do harm to U.S. interests, and we have to be prepared to protect the American populace. We learned those lessons, those hard lessons, during the 9/11 attacks. And there's been an awful lot of work done by the federal government, not just the military, but the federal government, to ensure that we're ready to respond to such a catastrophic attempt to threaten the United States security like that. So over the past few years, there's been an incredible investment to improve the security and readiness posture so that what we can thwart these types of attacks and respond as rapidly as possible to mitigate the effects. And it should bring a lot of confidence to the American people that our leadership has moved out on this aggressively and is putting us in a position where we can defend ourselves against some of these foreign threats.
Lieutenant Colonel Kirk Dorr on the program. Thanks for explaining that. And all of that so far sounds really good. I mean, what you guys are doing, what the mission is, that you're in command. Jerry, where is the problem here? What are you talking about, these attacks in the media, and why is that important to the story?
Well, I think we need to back up before we ask that question. Now, this is a change. And maybe that's what some people in the media are having a hard time swallowing. This is a fundamental change in military culture and capability, correct, Colonel?
Yes, sir, it is. And it's really an effort to integrate active duty forces into the overall response plan, to have those forces available with unique capabilities so that when the local and first responders and the local, for example, the state governors ask the federal government for assistance, the federal government can look to the Department of Defense, who possesses a wide spectrum of capabilities, and ask for a menu of options for maybe unique things like helicopter airlift support or truck transportation, things like that. That a governor just may not be able to handle because of the demands based off the disaster that's occurred in his state.
So is this the bottom line here? This is so instead of stumbling and bumbling around, a governor, for example, who's had some sort of disaster in his state or her state, instead of fumbling and bumbling around for a week or two trying to bring emergency assistance in, you all are trained beforehand. So instead of reacting after the fact, you're ready to go. Is that correct?
Exactly, sir. And I would tell you that the key thing is that we're anticipating some of these things, and with some of the natural disasters, such as a hurricane, where you can track these type of events as the situation develops, you know, we're anticipating that, and we'll do that for the entire year, and we'll be postured and ready to go, recalling our people within 48 hours and having forces deployed out of Fort Stewart to anywhere in the continental United States or or the territories as well, within 48 hours we'll be on the ground. And that's our charter, and that's what we're trained to do. And we have all sorts of capability here to deploy out of this footprint by rail, air, and sea, and ground to get there. And so that's exactly right. It's about anticipating a potential situation like that, and then the responsiveness that's required. And quite frankly, we owe that responsiveness to the American people to get on the ground and help support those civil authorities, and also instill confidence that the government is doing all the right things to mitigate that suffering and supporting in every way we potentially could.
Right, and getting back to what Randy was asking, because that's an important question.
But because everything up to this point is fantastic.
Right. Is the concern by some people in the media, first of all, I believe it's they're confused, and second of all, they're not educated about it.
Right.
Is the concerned, and if now I'm not wrong on this, I know this idea has come under attack by some people in the media. The fear is the United States military operating within the borders of the United States, exceeding their authority and usurping the authority of agencies that are set up for this. Is that, am I on target with that?
So those are some of the concerns that we've seen, but I would tell you that it really, you know, we are brought into the fold. We are brought into the process.
You're asked, right? Yeah, right.
On specific requests by those local and civil authorities. So there is no autonomous action happening with active duty forces. We are directed by our higher headquarters. In this case, it's United States Northern Command. Who is working closely with Department of Defense and the other federal agencies like FEMA to coordinate a comprehensive approach to this, and we're strictly in the support role here, not in the lead. At the end of the day, the folks truly in the lead are going to be those state and local authorities who, once they receive these assets, once they close on the ground, they'll be directing us, and we'll be receiving mission assignments to meet any gaps or shortfalls they may have in the response.
Right, and you made that very clear right at the beginning that you're working with civilian agencies. I don't even know if adjunct is a correct word for that. But
well, literally, we're taking our directives from them.
Okay.
And that's really what it's all about.
Well, I guess I don't get it. See, I don't get what some of these people don't understand about that.
And you're damned if you do and damned if you don't if you're Lieutenant Colonel Kirk Dorr, because if you're not ready, you're going to get blasted by the media.
Well, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's use a what if. Let's use a
right.
couple what if scenarios. What if, going back a couple of years ago, we were down in Mississippi and Louisiana within days of the hurricane,
right.
Katrina. What if this unit would have been established and ready to go?
Ready to go.
What if, I mean, there's been a lot of things. There's been fires.
Sure.
There's been mudslides, I suppose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What if? I don't understand what the hell the problem is.
I don't see what the problem is either, because if there's not a unit that's ready to go, we've seen what the media will do in that situation, like at Katrina.
Right.
And thank God, Jerry and Lieutenant Colonel, that you guys are not accountable to the media. I mean, I'm glad that you don't take your direction or you don't try to justify yourselves to the media, because you never win.
Well, and here's the thing. And now I'm on a roll, Colonel. Here's the thing. We've been out to Leavenworth. We've talked to General Caldwell. We've talked at length about the new Army doctrine, and this is, I believe, a prime example of that.
Right.
Our soldiers, our military, people just don't have enough appreciation for everything they do, because they just don't go in and kill people
right.
and blow things up.
Right.
They're in there establishing all types of infrastructures, water, power, sewer, building hospitals, building clinics, helping establish law enforcement agencies. They're rebuilding.
And again, only if they're asked.
And they're doing so much more that is beyond the traditional scope of the military. Like I said, they're not just going in there blowing up things. Our people deployed Third ID. Let me tell you, Third ID in Iraq, this is a storied unit since the days of World War One. And the men and women of Third ID, there is no other unit in the United States Army that's been deployed to Iraq who has seen more action. And I know that. And the success of the surge, you can point to the Third ID. And they can take a whole bunch of credit for making this surge the success it was. Now they're home. And it's not like they're lolling around at Fort Stewart eating Baskin-Robbins ice cream at the PX. They're standing by, and they're ready to react and defend the country, assist the country from within.
Well, Jerry and Randy, I'll tell you, and thanks for those incredible words. I will pass those feelings on to our troopers. But I'll tell you, if you ask a soldier that's serving here in this brigade that's assigned to this new mission set, and they'll tell you, we can't think of a more noble mission than this.
I can't either.
Right here at home.
You're, Americans should be so happy.
And yeah. you are literally protecting your neighbors.
That's right. We've been all over the world during this time of conflict, but now our mission is to take care of our citizens at home, and depending on where an event occurs, you could be going home to take care of your own hometown, your own loved ones, your own family.
Well, and the other thing is, too, Lieutenant Colonel, is the fact that not only can we look to things from the past that, you know, like Jerry said, a what-if situation, had you been ready, but now, I mean, who knows what's in the future?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Especially with this election and a new administration, I mean, you just never know. And I just...
Aside from natural... disasters that you know are going to happen.
Right.
I mean, they're going to happen.
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm just so thankful that this unit exists and that we have someone like you in command of this situation and passionate about what you're doing. I mean, that just means so much.
Colonel, do you know why Lieutenant Colonel Johnson from Army North?
I believe we did meet when he was out here. We conducted an exercise, a mission rehearsal exercise.
I guess what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get some strings pulled here. And seriously, Randy and I have talked about this. We would love to come down to Fort Stewart.
Absolutely.
And
do the show.
We'd love to do the show, and we'd love to see y'all in action down there.
We'd love to have you out here, Jerry and Randy.
And
I think, you know, it'll speak for itself when you get down to talking to the young privates and the sergeants and the young officers. They'll tell you how they feel about this new mission set, and I think you'll walk away impressed with the way we're handling this new mission.
All right. Well,
I'm already impressed.
Yeah, talk to your higher-ups and see what you can do.
And we'll even root for the dogs, whatever we have to do down there.
Okay.
Colonel, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your service and what you're doing. We really appreciate it.
Well, God bless you and all of our veterans out there.
Thanks,
Colonel. We will be back with more right here on the National Defense next week. Thanks for listening.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. And every time I hear 21 guns, I know they brought another hero home to us. For those, thankful for the things we've done. And we can rest in peace, 'cause we are the chosen ones. We made it to Arlington. Yeah, dust to dust, don't cry for us. We made it to Arlington.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Veterans of Foreign Wars believes in active allegiance to flag and country. Through legislative activism and service to our military forces, veterans, their families, and communities, freedom starts at home. Pledge your allegiance again. If you're a veteran and served overseas, you may be eligible to become a member of the nation's elite veterans organization, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
You've served your country, now you can help your country serve others. Call 1-888-JOIN-VFW. That's 1-888-JOIN-VFW.